And now for the theme tune.
Welcome to the Mom I Queens podcast. We're the rulers you either love or hate, and each week we will be setting the world to rights. Then from a randomly generated word, we'll be finding strange stories to tell each other, all whilst having a giggle and not needing alcohol to bring our special brand of madness directly to your ears. Full disclaimer, there will be not safe for work content and probably a strong view or two expressed. Definitely a fucking strong view or two expressed. So settle in and enjoy the car crashing into the dumpster fire that is Sam and Laura. All right, mate. How's your week been? Tell me.
Good. It's been all right, actually. Nothing too bad. How's yours?
My week has been fine, I think. Yeah. It's just been kind of like nothing amazing. I don't think anything amazing's happened. Nothing bad's happened. It's just been bang average, mate.
bang fucking average.
All right, so let us delve into something that you have with the passion and fire of Hades despised this week.
I tell you one thing I've hated, not with the fire, maybe not with the passion of the fire of Hades, but one thing that I am disliking is the world is opening back up. Right, which is a good, you know what, I'm good, I'm happy for you, I'm happy for all the people that are like, oh my god, I can go visit my friends in beer gardens, that's fine, that's cool, but the way you felt during lockdown is the way I feel all of the time, so it's like opposite world, like yeah. The world is becoming very noisy again, and there are a lot of people everywhere again. And all of a sudden, people are going to be wanting to do lots of things. Yeah. And I am not ready because I am very much an introvert. And I like my space. I like spending time. Like, I choose the people I want to spend time with. And what is one thing that you didn't like this week?
So this week, it's my face. I mean, to be fair, it's like just... like my face and my body in general. I triggered myself the other day. I was watching something, and often when that happens, my like body dysmorphia and stuff like properly kicks in. So like my body has been pissing me off, but the main thing is my face, and that's because when the sun comes out, so like spring, summertime, when it's beautiful and glorious, and as long as it's not too hot, and you're like, oh, you know, I might go for a walk, or I might sit in my garden, or whatever. My face just breaks out constantly, because since I had my son, I have now get adult acne, which is completely unfucking acceptable, mate. Like, when I was a teenager, I never got any, like, I would get the odd spot, but I never got a lot of spots. And I was like, do you know what? I mean, I didn't think of it exactly like this, but I was like, do you know what? This is the universe, like, giving me a fucking break, because everything else was shit. Like, bullying, home life, all of that stuff was either, like, currently horrendous or have been horrendous. And so I was like, cool, fine, thank you. But now it's like, so you've got a kid, and just in case his constant, like, presence isn't enough to remind you, we're also just going to litter your body with stretch marks, and just in case you like cover those up so you forget about those as well, what we're going to do is we're just going to make a roadmap of misery on your face, and you're gonna have to deal with that. So I'm now gonna have to go back into taking antibiotics for 8 months unless I want my face to just constantly be horrendous and painful and make me feel very not good about myself. That's what I've not liked.
Beautiful. You're always beautiful.
I don't like it. Now let's flip the script. Let's do a 180. Let's get some cardboard, put it on the ground and do a break dancing. What was something that you loved this week?
My face.
Oh, that's it. Nice.
No, I'm kidding. I mean, I know you're all sat there wondering, who is this sea witch that has just appeared and is going to take our souls? It's still me. I couldn't be bothered this week.
I love that. I could just be bothered. That's where we are. I was just bothered.
This week. No, the thing I have enjoyed this week is motherfucking Line of Duty. Oh my god. So, like, I don't tend to watch stuff that's like, you know, when everybody's like, oh my god, it's amazing, you should watch it, and I'm like, no, I'm all right. I've been watching RuPaul for the 600 millionth time.
Yeah, I feel that.
So Line of Duty kept coming up on my Instagram, and it kept coming up on my Facebook, because I follow like the BBC pages, so the clips of it kept coming up, and I was like, do you know what, I have watched like some of Line of Duty before and I did enjoy it, and I can't remember why we stopped watching it. So I was like, I said to Dave, shall we watch Line of Duty, because I've been seeing loads of clips from the recent sort of episodes and stuff, and it looks really exciting and I really want to know what's going on. So it was like, yeah, I had forgotten how well written and how well executed that fucking show is. Because so Line of Duty is, it's police procedural, it follows members of Anti-Corruption Unit 12, Vicky McClure, who is in This Is England, amongst other things, who I fell in love with when she was low in This Is England. She's in it. And then there's, I don't know, every season has like a guest actor in it. So we've been marathoning them, but they are an hour long each. So we've been getting through like probably most of a season in a night, because we'll just keep watching it. And it is the first time in ages where I've been watching something and I've been shouting at the telly. I'm like, do you guys see? Like... and Dave thinks it's the funniest fucking thing in the world, because I'm literally like, somebody says something and I'm like, if you hurt Ted Hastings, I will come through this TV and I will backhand you, bitch. I will, you fucking tell me. And like, anytime there's a sassy line or anything, I'm like, fucking come on, get him, fucking yes, take him down. The first time in ages that I've enjoyed a show that much, where it's made me like feel like, oh my god, like, and yeah, so that is the thing that I have enjoyed this week. Tell me, what did you enjoy this week?
So I have had occasion this week to interview members of Bootcamp, or Wilcox Writers as it is now known, and I have really enjoyed that. Like, beyond what I was expecting, actually, it's been really nice just to spend a little bit of kind of one-on-one time with each person in the group. But like, it's really nice because, yeah, we're just, everyone is very different in the group, and it's so interesting to me. Like, people in general, I don't like them. Not the members of Wilcox Writers, I like those. Just generally people are not for me, but when I like someone or I find something interesting, I do really like to go into like the psychology and things, because I just find it absolutely fascinating. So it was kind of like a mini version of that, because I asked everybody like the same questions, and for the most part, like, all the answers are in the same kind of area. But everyone's obviously, because they're themselves and unique individuals, have their own take or their own way of saying it. And it has just been like so lovely to spend time with these people that I love dearly, one-on-one, and just kind of pick their brains on stuff. And Yeah, and just see their personalities, like, just fully shine through. So I've really enjoyed. Let us shifty on down the road to our word of the week. I need to like a little spinny wheel or something.
Yeah.
Like I did in the reel. I like that. So our word of the week this week was entertainment. I don't know why I said it like that, but I did. Deal with it. So I can tell you that Laura has done research on this, and that is why we're going to her first.
I'm a professional, darling.
Yes. Hit me up with entertainment, babe.
So I went looking for, like, I was looking for, like, gross, like, entertainment stuff. But I found a list that was six of history's most brutal pastimes.
Yes.
And funnily enough, there wasn't, like, a lot of the Roman stuff on there. Like, I thought gladiators and stuff would be on there, but it's not. So the second one on the list is something called the Mesoamerican ball game. And I was like, what the fuck? So I was like, do you know what? I'm going to do some research. Basically, the whole Wikipedia page for this thing is like long as shit. But basically what the Wikipedia page says is, we don't know what actually happened, but maybe this happened. Like, we don't know what the rules were, but maybe the rules were this.
That's amazing.
It's bananas. It's literally, like, so this game, apparently, and for people who don't know a lot, they're claiming a lot. This game, it was a sport, was ritualized, violent, and sometimes involved human sacrifice.
Oh, lovely.
I've been reading all morning, and I still can't understand what the fucking, what human sacrifice had to fucking do with anything. It's like they went, old, like, Aztecs and shit, clearly human sacrifice. Like, clearly, like, what else were they doing back then? They were like, let's play a game of football and then have some human sacrifice. I'll just trust all the players to, you know, slit some throats. That's the half time.
Amazing.
Decapitation is particularly associated with the ball game. There has been speculation, and might I add that most of this is fucking speculation, right? There has been speculation that the heads and skulls were used as balls.
Yeah, that's literally the first place my brain went.
I'm not being funny. The thing that blows my mind, right, is stories have been told since whenever.
Yeah.
The fact that people don't look at this shit and go, could this have been real, or could this just have been maybe a story they were telling? Blows my fucking mind. That's like 3,000 years into the future. Do you know what? No, it's like the plot of Galaxy Quest. So the plot of Galaxy Quest is the aliens are like, we've seen your historical documents, which is a TV show like Star Trek, and they believe they're historical documents. That's like what's happening here. Like, I don't know. I don't know, guys. It's like a bunch of archaeologists were like, I mean, I'm not an archaeologist, so this is definitely not what happened. But they asked around and they went, guys, do you know what? Like, those, there's skulls over there. Do you know what? And there's a picture somewhere with some skulls on it. They definitely use those skulls as balls. They definitely did. Like, 100%. I'm not, they 100% did.
No margin for error. I'm telling you now.
Steve sat in the corner was like, hey guys, do you reckon they used balls as balls? Do you reckon that could have been part of human sacrifice? And they all went, That's too far, Steve. Skulls is one thing. Actual balls, no.
Where'd you get your fucking degree from, Steve? Fucking shithead university. Don't come here with that weak sauce. Very clearly, skulls were used as the balls. Fuck off.
So a lot of the stuff is speculation. Some of it is not speculation. Some of it is like what actual archaeologists have found. And there's like loads of, they found like loads of courts where they think, like, they've dug them up and they think this is where they played this game. The game is literally the first line on the Wikipedia thing is, the rules of the game are not known. That's fucking helpful, isn't it?
Like, the rules of any game kind of dictate what the game is. So, like, without rules, you've just got a board of squares and some letters. You could, I guess, infer from context. But, like, how are they telling me what the game is when they don't know the rules?
This is the line. And I appreciate, nobody's going to come at me anyway, but if somebody comes at me and is like, it's Wikipedia, Laura, maybe you should find some other sources, I'm going to be like, you can fuck off. I'm using Wikipedia.
Yeah.
If it's not true, it makes for good fucking content, so suck a dick.
I'm not fussy which one. Go out, find one, suck it.
The rules of the game are not known, but judging from its descendant, they were probably similar to racquetball, where the aim is to keep the ball in play. The stone ball court goals are a late addition to the game. In the most common theory of the game, the players struck the ball with their hips.
What?
The ball was made of solid rubber and weighed as much as 4 kilograms, and sizes differed greatly over time and according to the version played. There's not one game! That's like going, do you know what? Rugby is football, but we're going to play it with a completely different ball, we're going to have completely different rules, and we're going to play it a completely different way. Yeah,
just probably like on a tennis court. How does one play a game with one's hips?
Right. To me, that was the most interesting, right? I wanted to know how the game was played.
Yeah.
And I've been looking, and I can't fucking find it. It doesn't explain, nowhere does it explain how it's played with your hips. Like, are we having a Shakira moment here? Is it like, are you supposed to just boom? Like when Shrek and Fiona are doing the thing and he just like, boom, and she flies off into the forest.
But like, like when you play something with your hand, like a racquetball or even like volleyball, there's a good range of movement there, that so you can get some real velocity behind it. Same with your foot. Like your hips are just there. So even if you manage to somehow like get a distance, how is someone supposed to? It doesn't make sense.
It's fucking bananas.
Solid rubber. Ow. My poor hips. That I don't know how we're playing it, but I've just... What?
In general, the hip ball version is most popularly thought of as the Mesoamerican ball game, and researchers believe that this version was the primary or perhaps only version played with the masonry ball court. So I'm guessing that means the apparently the court to play in was like two long, narrow things, and then there was like two sloping sided bits.
What, so the ball was it?
Down. Ample archaeological evidence exists for games where the ball was struck by a wooden stick. So it's not fucking using your hips.
Is it on a belt around your hips? I don't
like. Right.
It's so confusing.
It's literally, this whole Wikipedia page is like, we don't know what happened, but maybe this happened. And then somebody's like, that's too far. Maybe dragons were involved, we don't know. Like,
yeah, definitely dragons, definitely skulls. Not rubber, that's too much.
This line that I picked up on was just, even without human sacrifice, the game could be brutal. Yeah, I'm not fucking surprised, because you're throwing around a rubber ball and trying to hit it with your hips. And this rubber ball does not fucking weigh nothing. This rubber ball is like 5 kilograms. Like
solid. Fucking solid.
The game could be brutal, and there were often serious injuries inflicted by the solid, heavy ball. Today's hip ulama, because apparently there is a game, like a version of it called ulama. Right. It's a ball game played in Mexico.
Okay.
And it's currently experiencing a revival from its home in like a few communities. But it's apparently it's a descendant of this Aztec version of a Mesoamerican ball game. But they use a rubber ball. And I'm guessing it's played on a temporary court and
with skulls.
They wear loincloths with leather hip pads for some protection against the heavy ball, which makes sense, like, nowadays, right?
Yeah.
But we're not talking about nowadays. We're talking back in Aztec times when they were just like, do you know what's a really good idea? We're going to throw a ball around that's concrete and you've got to hit it with your hips. Like, so 500 years ago, Spanish chronicler Diego Duran reported that some bruises were so severe that they had to be lanced open. He also reported that players were even killed when the ball hit them in the mouth or the stomach or the intestines. How fucking heavy was this ball? And how hard was it being thrown?
And who's not playing just... it? Who'd be like, do you know what? Do you know what's missing from my fucking life? Internal bleeding. I feel like this week, what are we doing this weekend, babe? Do you want to go for a walk? Maybe have a picnic? Maybe, I don't know, maybe we could go see. No, I want someone to punt a solid fucking ball as hard as they can at my delicate internal organs. And with any luck, I'll bleed to death. But like internally?
Can you imagine British people going over there? Because you know when they say you do that white girl dancing, you do that white girl twerking, where it's just the shoulders. Can you imagine some British colonial, no fucking rhythm, twirling moustache motherfucker, like, so what have I got to do? Just, you think I'll fucking move his hips? Like,
I just imagine them literally just moving their entire body like this.
Yeah.
Am I doing it? I feel like I'm definitely doing it. Darling, look, I'm playing a local game. It's very quaint. I'm doing it very well. They say I'm the best they've ever seen.
We're going to be sacrificed now.
What's that?
That was part of it.
Darling, I did so good. They're going to use us in a halftime show.
But like then the Aztecs just being like, oh, what are we playing with today, Dave? I'm gonna get the English guy's head out. I think that's a really good ball to use. Best ball to use for this weather.
Density to it
for this weather, definitely that English dude's head. I mean, if it comes overcast though, we'll use the Spanish guy's head. We'll use the Spaniard's head because he's just His head's just a bit more,
today, definitely the English guy. Yeah.
The English dude's really good for rainy weather as well.
Yeah.
They're just, I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I think it's the moustache. Yeah, really, it adds something.
So that was the thing that I found for our word of the week. And
that's amazing.
Team captains, and so I'll tell you one of the lines that made me, so obviously it was on a little list and then I went looking more into it. By looking more into it, I mean I went on Wikipedia, so the history website where I originally found it said it was played by both men and women.
Ooh.
It could be used as a way to resolve conflicts without resorting to warfare. So this is the bit that made me like, I was like, oh, I'm going to go and have a look. And then Wikipedia was no help at all. Nonetheless, team captains on the losing side were sometimes decapitated.
Yeah, seems fair.
Murals on ball courts even show that prisoners of war were forced to participate in the game before they were killed in human sacrifices. But it's just like
we think it could have happened. You have found out the most information about something that no one knows about, I think, that has ever happened.
It's like, Sally, you're lost, mate. You know what that means.
I can do better than you.
You knew going into the game this is what was going to happen. You knew. We need more balls. We can't, you know, somebody gets a bit too rough and they get broken. So we...
And you know, after a couple of weeks, they're no good. Yeah. Like, they're no good after a couple of weeks. They get too squishy. But how am I ever supposed to get better? You're not. You're the ball now.
So, now we've covered my talk about Mesoamerican ball games.
Yeah.
What did you find?
Well...
Entertainment.
Before I go on to what I have in front of me, I'd like to give a quick shout out to Faye because she sent me a message with, oh god, the pug's snoring again. What is it called? Dialysis, I think.
That's when you have your kidneys swished out.
That's
right?
Dialysis, love. Close. Close. Real close.
I thought you were just saying it in a posh way. Thank you for dialysis.
Dialysis, which, so apparently she was looking up entertainment and Wikipedia was like listed it under safe entertainment, and then she looked and it's just a load of people fucking
you know what that means, don't you? That means Faye needs to come on the podcast.
Yeah, I agree. Faye, you've been called. Right, now what I went looking for is, if you heard the podcast last week, you would have heard my completely reasonable and level-headed reaction to fish and things that live in the ocean. Completely, totally understandable, level-headed stuff. And the last thing on the list was the Victorians. We have the Victorians to thank for the reason that we can keep lovely fish as pets inside our houses. How wonderful. And I made a... I said that their legacy continues to nauseate and disappoint. I think it was something along those lines. And so I thought, you know what? Let me have a look to see what they thought was entertaining. And I've got some stuff for you.
Wow.
Fern hunting. You know, ferns?
The like plant. Trees?
Yeah. So apparently it says here, all things botanical remained ultra fashionable in England, less so in America, because, you know, they were too busy making friends with the natives. in the 19th century, exotic plants were grown in hothouses. I assume that is like the Victorians' version of a greenhouse. And they were filled with flowers, floral themed goods ranged from wallpaper to blah 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 blah, all this kind of stuff. So yeah, basically hunting for ferns was considered thrilling and dangerous, and it because basically people would go into the native environments, right, to find this stuff. So they would go like into different countries and go through jungles and things looking for new and exotic plants to bring back. Okay. And yes, fern hunting was considered thrilling and dangerous, and it continued into the early 20th century. So there's something for you.
Just give me a minute, because all I can think of is it was definitely an excuse for fucking. What are you doing? Barry.
Fern hunting.
I'm going fern hunting with Trev, Anna.
I'll be gone for a few weeks. I've been down on them hunting out them. I've been truffling out ferns left, right, and centre, mate. You best believe.
Fucking fern. No, I'm not. No.
So,
divination.
Yeah, divination. Which, like, it both, because obviously during the Victorian time, things were like very laced up, yeah? Which means that a lot of stuff like in the strict kind of social sphere was very similar, which of course then means that everyone is looking for a way to like do anything other than sit round and drinking tea with a doily and not looking at that ankle of that table, lest one get a boner, right? So
hello boys.
Yes, and they like they were quite they were quite obsessed with death, weren't they, the Victorians?
Yeah,
quite gothic. So divination, yeah, tea leaves, palm reading, the good old crystal ball is how it's written here. I love that, the good old crystal ball. Get the good old crystal ball out, not the bad one, no, the good one. We've got company, bring the good one out. Yeah, so apparently they used all of these methods while they were trying to attempt a glimpse of the future. So apparently some of the some of the stuff they also used to try see into the future, because tea leaves, palm reading and crystal balls weren't enough, dice, well, fair enough, apples, nuts, mirrors, candle and wax, playing cards, seeds, dreams, coins, fruitcake, moles and warts, dead people communication with the dead through spiritual mediums was more. So basically, just anything. Corpses to seeds. Well, there you go. That's how you see into the future, just with anything.
Using this.
Anthropomorphic. Taxidermy. So I am currently looking at a picture, right, of, I think they're kittens, which, like, we need to, they're all sat round a table, right? They've got the little like serving dishes. They've got a little diggy. Like some of them are talking to each other. Some of them are leaning in for like bread or whatever. So basically, they just got a load of dead animals and made them look human-esque, doing human-esque things. Yeah, that is, in my opinion, fucking creepy. How many kittens died of natural causes for that? Kittens. Zero, I reckon. Zero kittens. What are you gonna go? What are you doing, Dave? You're going fern hunting again. No, I'm just gonna go drown this bag of kittens so I can make them look like they're eating butter. What? The actual fuck?
It's where you get the creepy, like the weird creepy ones that their eyes aren't quite right.
Mm.
If you like Google taxidermy, it's the fox that's like.
Yeah. Listed as number three on this list, which I needed a good second after I'd seen that this was listed on a list of top 10 like entertainment, right? Entertainment. Number three is mourning. As in, someone I love is dead, and now I'm mourning.
Like, wait, what? Like, do they mean like crashing a funeral?
So
for the food, or do they mean actually like?
No. Let me just read you this little passage. So it says, unsanitary environments, poor sanitation, bad hygiene, tainted water, adulterated food, that cheese couldn't stop fucking its best friend's wife, contagious diseases, and other hazards of living in the 19th century made life expectancy short for the average person. Hence, lots of funerals. With the death of Queen Victoria's consort, Prince Albert, in 1861, publicly mourning the deceased became not just a social necessity, but an event with quite elaborate rituals. Whole industries sprang up offering mourning clothes, stationery, funeral wreaths, funeral biscuits.
Funeral biscuits.
Yeah.
Nobody just really like the funeral biscuits.
Who wants a chalky digestive?
That's why you're a fat girl on your team. She always brings the funeral biscuits.
And mourning jewellery, often made of jet or onyx and featuring the deceased's hair.
Who?
Oh, that's a lovely bracelet. Who died? Oh, it's my Aunt Linda. But now I'll always have a bit of her with me.
Can you just imagine? Like, because Right, given the way people act now, right, on social media, given the way some people are like, oh yeah, like, I know them, they're my best friend, when they've never even met someone, and they, like, talk to them like they fucking know them. Can you imagine going into a shop and the shopkeeper just being like, oh, we're sorry for your loss. Who is it who died again? And they're just like, I think his name was Bill. I think his name was Bill, and I went to his funeral and I nicked a bit of this hair, and I wanted making into a little charm to go on my bracelet.
Yeah.
You see, because here I've got these 100 people on this, and I don't know all the names, I don't know which one's which, but is it pretty?
It's
a talking piece, this. It's a right talking piece. But when I go around, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry for all your losses. And I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Dove. It's fine. It's fine. I didn't really know him, anyway.
Literally, when you said, can you imagine it, like, it being, this kind of thing being today on Instagram? You know how, like, a lot of people will show off, like, it'll be a picture, a close-up picture of their hand because they're showing that they've got a very nice ring or, like, a beautiful car or whatever. I can just imagine some people, like, showing off this funeral bracelet, right? And then them panning up and it's like, where's that bit of your hair gone? This thing happened, it was just, but it looks very similar to that. No, honestly, I was very good friends with Cassandra. Her name was Claire, with Claire.
Fucking Nigella on a Saturday morning. Today I'm going to show you how to make funeral biscuits. Beautiful chocolatey funeral biscuits.
Yep. So here's another one for you, right? This comes in as number two, yeah? Mummy unrolling.
Hold on, I have questions.
Mm-hmm. Like an Egyptian mummy? Yeah. Not like...
Yep. Bang on it, mate. Like, quite frankly, I imagine this particular entertaining pastime was... limited to the upper classes, because I imagine a mummy was a spendy option. But yeah, the 19th century craze for all things Egyptian led naturally to an unwrapping or unrolling of mummies. Contrary to popular urban legend, people didn't do this at home. Oh, well, that's good. That, it would have been inappropriate in the drawing room.
Don't eat that. Don't eat. Oh, this jerky's really fucking nice. This is so. Where have you got? What is this? This is dried tripe. This is fucking delicious.
Oh,
mate.
It's lovely. Apparently, the public attended lectures and exhibitions where self-titled experts cut into the mummies they'd purchased at auctions. Travellers also like to bring mummies home from their Egyptian vacations. Did you get me anything, babe? Yeah, hang on. I'm just bringing it through. I better not be another fucking magnet. It better not be it.
Not even the case. It was in just a
moment. That's not going in the bedroom. No, that's not the best part, isn't it? That's not the best part. No. Guess what we're going to get to do with it later? Oh, you better be real careful with what's about to... No. Don't be like that. We're going to unroll it. What? You... What?
Right. I understand there wasn't much to do, right? But there is no fucking way it would catch me. Like, do you want... Are you reading a book? Are you going to... What, carry on reading a book? Or do you want to come and could unroll a mummy? I'd be like, do you know what?
I'm good.
For a 5,000-year-old fucking corpse with no distinguishing features, I'm good. It's not even like I can laugh at anything. It's not like I can be like, oh, didn't he have a weird fucking nose? Like,
I wouldn't know. It's not there, mate.
I'm good. I'm all right. You can...
You have at it. But, like, can you do it in another room? There's like, yeah. I'm so good. I'm so good.
Also, unraveling it, if they're just cutting into it, where's the drama in that? Just like, whoop, like not like slowly unraveling, like.
It's like rolling it down the hill, like the fucking Andrex puppy. So apparently, right, it was so popular to bring mummies back, okay, from their Egyptian vacations, that an American newspaper account from the last part of the century complained about mummies being made to order, usually from the bodies of recently deceased beggars and other poor people.
I mean, of course, it's always the fucking poor that cut for it, innit? But
oh, yeah. It's your own fault. Don't be so poor, you poorie. Yeah.
Right, I'm not being funny. You're an upper-class English gentleman, right? You're fucking filthy rich.
Yeah.
And you're like, do you know what? Do you know what I really want? Fucking get me. Get me one of them mummies. Get me one of them. We've got none left. You are a fucking. I don't care.
I said, get me a mummy.
Get me a mummy. Well, we've got. There's a couple of. Yeah, that's fine.
Just make sure they're wrapped up.
Our beggar. Just wrap up our beggar. Send him over here. You know, you could just use some of your own port. No. No, he's got to look foreign.
Yeah, it's got to be Egyptian. I need the authentic Egyptian port. I feel like you're not understanding me. Like, no one is going to believe me if it is not a genuine Egyptian poor. No. I mean, maybe you could use your money to spend on some other things. Like whoring. No, I've fucked all the prostitutes. Quite frankly, they're all riddled. And what I'm very much looking forward to is unrolling a mummy.
So I can fuck that. That's
yeah, I can fuck it before my penis inevitably rots off.
I am. How the fuck has Impotep not come back and been like, absolutely fucking not, mate. What do you think you're doing?
Just
sat up and gone, I'm cursing a lot of years. You all deserve to die.
I mean, quite frankly, is there anything more British than going to someone else's country, stealing their culture and bringing it back here to point at and go, isn't that fun? So, yeah. And number one is seances, because, you know, they're obsessed with the fucking dead. Apparently, Harry Houdini exposed a lot of fraudulent mediums during that time. Good on you, Harry. I don't know the rest of... I know that you did magic and stuff. I don't know if you were a good guy. So, I mean, it's the Victorian time, so probably not.
I don't know.
But yeah, so basically, I stand by the fact the Victorians are nauseating and disappointing. Right, so now we have covered, quite frankly, some of the fucking weirdest things I've ever heard of for entertainment, and a game that has more information than the fucking Premier League without us still knowing what the fuck it was. let's spin the wheel of thought, shall we? So we are gonna why don't you give me a little theme tune, Laura?
Oh my god, you've put me on the spot now. It's my fault that I'm out here spinning. It's my fault that I'm out here being thought. I'm gonna blame it on the wheel of thought. Yeah. Always look on the wheel of thought before we decide on a word. I don't.
You disturbed my dog so much with that he repositioned himself and wobbled my camera. Also, thanks, babes. That was lovely. I appreciate that. That's the first time I've asked you to do that, and it's probably going to be the last. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1, boop. Oh. Europe.
Oh.
I'm going to say now, no Brexit.
No Brexit.
No fucking Brexit, mate. I mean, that's what I said at the time. Did they listen? No. But yes, so that is our word of the week for next week is frigging Europe, mate.
Europe.
I mean, It's a decent.
Are you European? Let us know.
Are you European?
You think Boris is a cunt as well? Let us know.
Where did Sam just get that makeup brush from? You don't need to know. Yeah.
Just where she keeps it, mate. I'm
just not over. Are you European? Let us know. I don't know why, but that's just really guilty. Are you European? It's because it sounds like the beginning of like a no win, no fee advert. Are you European? Is it not your fault?
Do you think Boris is a cunt? Get in touch.
You're not fucking
on all double seven. Fuck the Tories.
Right, so next week's word is Europe. So if you have got any funny stories or things that you hate about this word, drop a comment on one of the social medias. We say one of them, Instagram. Yeah, you can find us on Instagram. That is where we are. That is where we live. That is where we spend too much of our times and will probably be our greatest regret on our deathbed. You can find Laura at
Better Late Than Novel.
Yes, and my handle is Masters of None. Now, you can also find Laura at her website. You can also find Laura at her website, which is just laurakendrick.com. Am I correct with that?
Yeah.
Aye. And you could also find her stunning novel, Silver Deer, on Amazon.
The Chronicles of Silver Deer is available on Amazon on paperback and ebook.
Spath. Yes!
Sam's poetry is available on her Instagram.
Yes, it is. It is. That's correct. I've already said my handle. I've also got a website, which is the same, but with a .com at the end, so mastersofnone.com. Right. Now, let's just get real serious for a second. If you hated this podcast, don't at us. But if you loved it, then come on down to Instagram Town. We've just told you where we are. Come join the party. We're also on Facebook, but like I say, Instagram is the place that we will be the most. And you can find us there at the Marmite Queens, which is the, spelt the usual way, Mom, MAAM8AIGHT, Queens, QUWNS. You probably know how to spell Queens, but I'd spell everything else, so I felt the societal pressure to continue with the trend that I had started. I've said all the stuff, and now we're going to go. Have a nice week. I hope you get what you deserve.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye. Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Goodbye. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye. Fuck off.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Marmite Queens, you dumpster fire garbage people. And now for the outro.
You can't afford a theme tune!
Definitely can't afford an outro!